Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Victoria.
And today we're going to be talking about business architecture and the recent publication of Business Architecture, A Comprehensive Guide. So to kick us off, we're going to talk about outcomes and what outcomes we were hoping to achieve with the book. Debbie, do you want to make a start on that one?
Okay. I think what I was thinking was I wanted us to be quite pragmatic so that people who are business architects can really think about what am I doing? What am I applying? Why am I applying it? How is it going to benefit my organization? And really have that sort of outcome focus in business architecture. And I think the other thing was so that you had other disciplines that are very related to business architecture, typically in the business change world, but sometimes in the sort of more end stakeholder world within an organization, that they'd really understand what business architecture is about and what business architects try to achieve. So that's sort of where I'm positioning my thinking on the book.
Yeah, brilliant. And some really useful thoughts there. Victoria, same question for you.
I think with the book, we cover a huge amount of ground in that publication. And I think it brings together a lot of different threads, which you'd actually have to do quite a lot of work to go and get that, you know, those pieces of the puzzle. So I think with this book, obviously with the title, Comprehensive Guide, it does do a lot of groundwork for people just to get up to speed with the topic, as well as sort of diving into the detail for those that are practicing or aspiring to practice. And I think from that point of view, it definitely fills a gap. There's lots of other really good material out there, but this one brings together a lot of different threads into a single text.
Yeah. And then if I answer my own question, the outcome focus, bringing in the customer in the mindset and making that explicit within the work of the business architect. And the other thing that I'm going to mention is I think there's a bit of a mystery around what business architects do and how they do it. And I'm hoping that by explaining the business architecture role in the way that we have through using the service view, that it starts to break down this perception of ivory tower. That actually, you know, business architecture is accessible for folk. We can understand it and we can collaborate with other change professionals towards outcomes and trying to dispel some of the myths and remove some of the mystery around what is business architecture is one of the outcomes I'm really hopeful that readers get from picking up and reading the book. Right. So we've got a really broad question next, and it's going to come to you, Vic. Is there anything in particular from the book that you would like to discuss on today's pod?
Oh, that is a very broad question. I can't get to pick my favourite chapter, can I? No, that's not the question.
You can choose your favourite chapter. You don't have to. Just pick something that you think.
I think towards the back of the book, we've got some case studies, which I think is relatively unique. I think just to kind of lean into the point you made about Ivory Tower, there's some excellent examples in the book where business architecture skills and the discipline has made a real impact and had a really positive outcome for the businesses that, you know, those case studies are related to. So I think that's a lovely part of the book. And I think it's a really valuable insight into that kind of execution of the discipline. I think also I can't remember what we've titled it now, but the section towards the back, which talks about the service framework for business architecture. I think there's a lot of quite new business architecture practices. A lot of businesses haven't had long-standing teams in place, and I think having something like that to reference to get yourself going if you are in that early stage of forming a team is another really valuable tool. Those would be my two headlines, Jonathan.
Brilliant. And I should share for the listeners, viewers, that we didn't share our subjects that we wanted to talk about in advance. So
Have I stolen anybody's subject?
Kill your subject. Do you want to talk about, Debbie?
It's interesting because, you know, Vic, you haven't stolen my subject, but I think one of the things within business architecture that I find just really useful and interesting is the concept of capability. So if I was going to highlight a chapter in the book, it's probably going to be that chapter. And the reason I'm so keen on it is because I think capability as a way of looking at how organizations tick and how they work and how they deliver their services. So to me, that concept of capability is just incredibly useful. And one of the things that we explore in that chapter are the elements that make up capability, because you do quite often hear people use the word competence and capability interchangeably. And when they're talking about competence, they're talking about people with skill at a certain level. And yet capability in an organization is so much more than that, because you can have the most skilled people, you know, at a particular task, but it doesn't mean that the organization can do anything with it. And so I really find that concept of having almost like the pieces of the jigsaw that make up the capability being understood, because I do feel it's sometimes misunderstood. And then one of my favorite phrases is leveraging capability. How are we going to leverage this capability? Okay. So there's a whole section on leveraging capability, which I'm very excited about, because at the end of the day, why do organizations exist? They exist to offer something to customers that hopefully customers want. But to be able to offer that, you've got to pull together lots of different things. And if you want to offer something innovative and new, looking at your capability and going, okay, how can we use that? How can we use what we've got to offer something different? I just love that way of thinking. So that's a real highlight in business architecture, as well as in the book for me.
Yeah, that was my number three, Debbie, just to... It was definitely up there in the top three.
So that business architect being able to innovate and help the organization meet its strategic goals and outcomes through leveraging the capabilities that the organization has. And it, for me, that's quite exciting for the business architecture profession, because then, you know, if we understand how to leverage the capabilities, we can help our organizations achieve goals and outcomes. And in this, the word digital is also used a lot. But we can get quite confused about what do we mean by the word digital and how we might enhance value propositions. Well, leveraging capabilities might be a way that we can enhance the value propositions that our organizations offer for internal and external customers. I like the capability section as well, Debbie. And wouldn't I? Because I might have had a little bit of an involvement in it. I know we discussed it at length, though, Debbie. So it was a lot of work went into that. I quite liked, I'm going to answer my own question, the capability thinking. And it's only a short section of the book, but there's a little bit of a misconception that you've got to spend ages drawing a model and getting it validated and signed off. And that can be extremely useful. There's a definite... yes, we should have a documented model that we all have shared understanding around. But I think we're missing a trick if we don't think in capabilities, because we can think for what might be possible and engage in discussions about innovation and leverage of the capability without the model. And I don't think we should be constrained in our thinking, and that capability thinking, or business capability thinking, as we've termed it in the book, I think we can do without the fully signed off models. If we've got the fully signed off model as well, that's really useful.
I think that capability lens takes away a lot of noise that you have in a big business. There's a lot of confusion when you talk about systems and data. And even, you know, people and, you know, lines of responsibility. And I think if you utilize that capability thinking, it can really provide clarity when you're making some of those important decisions without all that business noise around it. It's less emotive as well sometimes. people get quite emotional about systems, and I think with the capability model, it does take away some of that emotion, so you can get some clarity.
The other thing I think about capability is it allows us to look at other disciplines as well, because if we look at the components that make up the capability, then we can see the links through to infrastructure or technical architects. We can see the links through to data architects. So you've got linkages there. But the other thing I think is, if you are looking at offering an enhanced service or a new service or something like that, and you look at the capabilities you need to actually offer it, you could even rag rate them. You know, if you've got some where you think, actually, looking at this, we haven't got all the components in place. We might have a bit of it, but we haven't got it all there. I think you also open the door to professions like business analysis at that point to actually do some investigative work, do some sort of, you know, really in-depth situation analysis that says, okay, what's missing here? And then you're into gap analysis. So I just think it opens up a way of integrating a lot of disciplines within the business change and business world. So to me, it's almost at the core of business architecture. And so that's why I think it's so important.
So I was going to share, and I agree, Debbie, absolutely what you've just said, but I'm going to share that Vic did steal one of mine. I was going to say the business architecture service framework. I wanted to talk about that, but that was the one.
I got in first. Sorry.
No. So, we should have done it in the pre-pod. where would be the fun in that? But one of the reasons that I think that's particularly useful to mention is that clarity on the role that it offers. So it's describing 6 core services with the auxiliary service of stakeholder engagement. And one of the reasons why I really do hope that it resonates with readers of the book is because it offers clarity in terms of a start point. What services does a business architect offer? And then in the book, we've also shared the service frameworks for other change professions, such as business analysis. So you can look at, okay, what's the business architecture service offering? And what's the difference between that and our business analysis service offering? I'm not doing this for the sake of it, but in order to enable shared understanding of who's doing what, the work of change in the organizations. And in one of the final chapters, we've also explored the services of project managers, change managers, and service designers. And this kind of ecosystem view that we've taken for the business architecture role and the work that they're doing, I'm really hopeful that people find value in that. I know we can't deliver any value, but the offer there is a start point to start defining the roles and provide some clarity so that organizations can work towards common goals and outcomes. I think it could be useful for readers that pick it up and use it, particularly given the experience of the way that people have used the business analysis service framework.
And I think that point about collaboration is a really important one for the business architect role. I think obviously you tend to be involved in quite strategic decision making, and being able to collaborate with those other disciplines is fundamental to success of you know, the execution of a business architecture service. So yeah, I agree, Jonathan. I hope people can sort of see where those collaboration points are, and particularly that relationship, like you said, Debbie, with business analysis. As long as that's nice and tight, and you know, it's quite clear where the architect stops and the analyst starts, I think that's hopefully something that they'll take from the book as well.
Yeah. And that's what we focused on our BA Manager Forum session.
We did.
It seems like a while ago, Vic.
It was only June. I looked it up today.
Oh, was it June, was it?
June last year.
It seems like an age because we've been so busy, but the discussion on where is the overlap between the business analyst and business architect, it's a hot topic. People are wanting answers there and coming up with different responses and different answers. But the frameworks give a basis to have a structured discussion and to agree, well, who's doing what? And I really do hope that helps people out there.
yeah.
I want to do one other. Go for it, Debbie.
Well, I was just going to say, so it's something that Vic just said about the sort of strategic view, because I love a value stream. Okay, I'll put my hand up and say it. I love a value stream. And the reason I love a value stream is because it gives you the opportunity to look at that overview that and says, what is it that we're trying to deliver here? But that really high level strategic view of the organization without all the detail that you have to get into to make it actually work in practice, which sort of is where the BA comes in as well. But I think being able to just take that across organization view, it gives you so much clarity. And it's certainly something, you know, we've done a lot in Assist looking at value streams and really understanding them so that everybody in the organization can actually sort of see how things pull together. So I also just want to highlight that because personally, I find it such a useful way of looking at our organization and looking at within sort of an ecosystem view, how it interacts with other organizations as well. And we've used that approach for many, many years, and it's always been phenomenally useful.
I'm going to talk about one other technique that I really think is interesting. And part of it is because of the way we developed it. And it's called the CALM framework. So the Capability Analysis and Leverage Model. And I wished I had the credit for that name because I don't. So I've been using this model on and off, and I find it really useful to help to structure my thinking. It looks at the why, what, and the how for the current and the target state. And I didn't have a name for the model, and I was sharing it with Debbie and saying, what can we call it? And then Debbie came up with this brilliant name, CALM framework, and it just fits. It's just brilliant, and I wish I'd come up with a name. So, but what I really like the model, but I really like the way that particularly Debbie and I collaborated to create the model and then the naming of it. And I don't know if it's going to resonate like a model like Poppit or others that you've helped to create in the past, Debbie. But I really like this CALM model because it you should stay calm as a business architect.
No flapping as a business architect.
Capabilities. But I really enjoyed putting that one in the book, and I hope people find that useful as well. Right. Were there any others that particular things that you wanted to talk about? I've thrown in two or three there, but any other particular subjects in the book that you wanted to mention? Or should we move on?
I could mention the information concepts because Vic and I worked on that section of the book together. And I love data. You know, to me, it's like running my fingers through like a pile of riches when I'm fiddling about with data. I just really like it. I know some people don't, but I do.
Is it like, I don't know, your favourite box of chocolates or something? Yeah. Got all these nice bits of data information. Is there a link there?
It's a similar feel, but it's just so, I don't know what it is. I just love looking at data. Okay, let's just leave it there because otherwise it's just too geeky and nerdish. Vic and I collaborated on that. And I just think it's just worthwhile mentioning because it is an area that people sometimes overlook or, you know, sort of shy away from a little bit. But, you know, in today's world, you know, data protection regulation, information security, all those areas are so significant and business architects really have to be on top of them. So I just think it's just worthwhile mentioning as maybe not as much fun as leveraging a capability, but if you need, it's great.
We had fun writing it though, David, didn't we? I think right. just to finish off the list, I think there's a lot of models and techniques in the book, which business analysts in particular will recognize VMOS model, you know, the T model, there's SWOT analysis. There's all sorts of things in there that will be very familiar to a lot of business analysts. So there'll be some new stuff, but there's also some stuff which is equally applicable in the business architecture domain as it is in business analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brilliant. So going to come to our final question, and the final question is a nice open one as well. Any final thoughts? And I'm going to go to Debbie with that one. Any final thoughts before we finish today's pod?
Do you know, It's funny because I said this on your LinkedIn post, Jonathan, but one of the things that struck me through the process and now here we are with the publication itself is the joy of collaboration. And when you think about it, you know, business architects have got to collaborate with other disciplines and with their colleagues and with their business manager customers and all that type of thing. And I think writing this book as a collaboration with we three and Michael Greenhalgh and Vicky Rothwell, it's just been a joy. It really has. And I think it is a testament to collaboration. And hopefully that comes through so that people recognize why that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant. And we've also, and it links to Vic's point earlier, the case studies, Marius Pelzer and Claire Caulfield, and Michael submitted a case study as well, and it's in the book, but our case study contributors, and then the forward as well, Joanna, who's written the forward, there's a real collaboration and a wealth of ideas from different people that come into the book, and that's I think it's been brilliant, hasn't it? And it's enriched the content as well as the actual process of writing it also. So, Vic, same question to you. Any final thoughts that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think just a nod back to what we said at the beginning, the guide is comprehensive in that it nods to, you know, a lot of academic influence. There's some reference to some frameworks in there, but there's a lot of practical guidance in there as well. So hopefully people get a flavour of that as they read the book and enjoy it and use it. And it's hopefully one of those books that will sit on a shelf and you get it out every so often. How do I do that? Or, you know, what do they cover this topic with in the book? So that's my hope, that it will sit and be used by people rather than just a once and done read.
And I'm excited to hear the feedback about the book and what people do with the content within it as they're using it in their careers. What do they do with the content? And I'm excited to find out what people think about it. And I think this is the start of a discussion on how do we evolve, mature the business architecture profession. And I think, you know, this is obviously very exciting times to be involved in it. So I think we'll call it a day there in terms of the brew. So I just want to thank everyone that's been involved in writing the book, and there's far too many people to mention, so I'm not going to attempt to. I know we thanked some of the case study contributors, our fellow authors today, but there's a whole team of people involved in writing a book, and we're not going to mention them all, but thank you if you've been involved and you've helped us out behind the scenes. Also, thanks to everyone for listening, watching to today's pod. And Vic, it's great to have you back as a guest. It was a pleasure. So that's my final thing. So thank you. Any ideas for future BA Brew podcasts, please send them through to babrew@siskd.com. Thanks very much.